Okay, Parshas Drachim. We're going to start with the first drush. Just by way of introduction, the Parshas Drachim was written by the Mishnah Melech. It's a classic sefer that most of us do not have time for, so that is the main purpose of the shir. It's just to see an overview, so in case you're driving somewhere or have some time, you can listen to it and know it. The Mishnah Melech is Rav Yehuda Rosanis, and he didn't publish anything in his life, not the Mishnah Melech, not the Parshas Drachim, nothing. It was his Talmud, Rav Yaakov Kuli, who put together his Torah and published it after he died. So the Parshas Drachim is a sefer. It's got different drushim, and it's similar to the drushes around in that it's a whole long drush on a concept of the Parsha. And it's mostly going through midrashim, and from a halachic analysis of them. So I'd say the first one is probably the most famous, but hopefully we'll do a lot more than that. So the first drasha, like all the drashas, starts off with some quote from a medrash, usually. So here, the first drush called Derech HaSarim. The first drush starts off with the medrash in Bereishis Rabbah. It's in Parshas Vayeshev, Parshas Pei Dalet, Simen Ches. So the medrash there says something very difficult to understand. It's quoting, it's talking about Yosef and his brothers. It says that Yisrael Ahavis Yosef and Vayisno also. So Yaakov loved Yosef and the brothers hated him for it. And it says, Rishon Melakish B'shem Rav Elazar Ben Azariah, it says, quotes a pasuk in Tehillim, L'chur Umi Felos Elokim M'chsiv Basrei Hafach Yom Le'Yabasha. What do we want from this? So the medrash says, Lama Vayisno also. Why did the brothers hate Yosef? Kedei Sheikra Hayam Lefnehem. So Hashem should split the Yamzer for them in the future. What in the world does that mean? That's what the Parshas Drachim is going to explain over the course of this drush. But okay, but we start off the drush not directly explaining that, asking a very, very famous question that most people who are listening to this, I'm sure, have heard of. Did the Avos, Kodin Matan Torah, have the din of a Ben Noach or the din of a Yisrael? This is the famous Parshas Drachim. It's his first drush, and it talks about it in the first few. Whether the Avos had a din of a Ben Noach, and when they kept the Torah, we know that Avraham, Yitzchak, Yaakov, and everyone really, till Matan Torah, kept the whole Torah as a chumrah. In other words, really, they were Bnei Noach, but they were machmir to keep all of the Torah, even the Rabbanans. Or is it that they really were actually different? They even had a din of, they didn't have to keep the Torah, but they had a din of Yidden, even the Kula. There are certain Kulas associated with being an official Yisrael. So did they have a din of a Yisrael, even the Kula, that they could take the Kulas of being a Yisrael, or not? So that's the discussion. Did they have a din of a Ben Noach, or did they have a din of a Yehudi? Again, when would this have happened, just to make this clear? Pashup Shad, as you're going to see, we're going to discuss further things. If they had a din of a Yisrael, it was from the time that Avraham Avinu did a Bris Milah. And that makes sense to be that time, because that's when the Yidden had 8 mitzvahs instead of 7, right? There's the Shem mitzvahs B'nei Noach. Without question, whatever you hold with regard to this machlokas about whether they had a din of a Ben Noach or not, certainly they had 8 mitzvahs instead of 7, because they also had the mitzvah Mila. From that point on, that's when Papashtas, if they had a din of Yidden, that's when it started. As we're going to see, the Parshas Drachim may not completely agree with that, but that's the Pashtus, as we'll see from some Rishonim, that if they did have a din of Yehudim completely, it was from that time of Rav Avinu did a Bris Milah. Okay, so here we go. The Parshas Drachim starts off with a bunch of rayas, mostly that they did have a din of a full Yid. So he starts off quoting the Ma'arash Yaffa. Now, many of you probably have never heard of the Ma'arash Yaffa. The Ma'arash Yaffa was a huge work on Medrash that I don't even think is in print anymore. But all the people you find, all the Mefarshim you find on Medrash are calling from and getting from the Ma'arash Yaffa. So it was a very big work. Again, I don't think they print it anymore, but he's quoted very, very often in the Parshas Drachim. And again, when you see the Mefarshim inside the Medrash, most of them are getting from the Ma'arash Yaffa. So anyway, the Ma'arash Yaffa says the following, and this is in Parshas Vayigash, again, Medrash Rabbah, Parshas Vayigash, Parak Tzadigimel, Parshat Tzadigimel, and it's Simen Vav. it says there that when they found the cup by Binyamin, right, when the brothers were leaving Yosef, and they found Yosef's cup by Binyamin, so the Medrash there says, in the name of Rav Simon, that they said, the brothers said, you know, in our culture, Pashas, in our religion, when the if someone steals and they can't pay back, so then it's an imkar b'gneva, so then he gets sold to pay for his gneva. But here we yesh lo l'shalom. Here we have money, we can pay you back. Not a problem. We can pay you back. We can pay whatever we need to pay. So we shouldn't have to go as slaves. So the Maharash Yafa asks, why is it that they said this to? Why did they say this? The din of a ben Noach is that if a ben Noach steals, he's nerag. There's no opportunity for paying back. Nachri is nerag on Gzela, even if it's a Shavu Pruta, less than a Shavu Pruta, whatever. There's no opportunity for paying back. It's the din is Chayim Misa. So if they had a din of ben Noach, so then why would they taina that Binyamin should go free? Because they can pay back. Too late for that. He already stole. You see from here, says the Maharash Yafa, that they had a din of Yehudim, even Lakula, like this, that this is a din of a Yehudi. You see, they even had a din of Yehudi, even Lakula. Okay. Another ayah from another Maharash Yafa. And this is a very, very famous question all of us are familiar with. Why was Yaakov allowed to marry two sisters? Okay. So, there's many different answers. We know the Rabban says he only kept the Torah in Eretz Yisrael. There are other answers. The Maharash Yafa's answer is, maybe one of the simplest answers, is that the Yin and Avram, Yitzchak and Yaakov, had a din of Yehudim. Okay, but that's because they were Avram's children. What about Rachel and Leah? They weren't related to them, so they would have to be Megayer. We know there's a rule of Gershon is Gayer, Kakan Shanol Adami, that when someone becomes a Ger, they are no longer considered related to their relatives, which means that Rachel and Leah were not sisters. So if they were not sisters, so then there's no issue of marrying two sisters, because they weren't sisters. So again, Maharash Yafa the Parashas Drachah points out, you can't say that if they were keeping the Torah the Chumrah. If they really had a din of a Ben Noach and they were just keeping the Torah as a Chumrah, so then, what's this geirus? So, it's not a real geirus. You're not really Yehudim. You're all just Bnei Noach. So you're going to be Makel? Now, again, this question assumes it's an issue. If you assume all the Arayos for a Yid are Arayos, even for Bnei Noach, then it's an issue. How could he marry two sisters? If that's the case, so then saying that, they were Megayer, that's not an answer. Because that was just the Chumrah. It wasn't a real geirus, because you still had a din of Bnei Noach even after your geirus. So to take the kula and say, now they're not related to each other, that wouldn't be a good answer. It must be that they had a real din of Yehudim, and the Geirus is a real Geirus, and therefore he was able to marry sisters because they were considered Kekan Shinola Dani. Okay, another raya to this, that they had a din of Yehudim, is that we know there's Kama Midrashim, many Midrashim that say that they almost kept Shabbos. It says, Yaakov is Kavat Chumin. This is also a very, very famous question. How could it be that the Avos kept Shabbos? If the Avos had a din of a Ben Noach, Goyish Shabbos is Chayim Misa. You're not a non-Jew, not allowed to keep Shabbos. You have to be Mechal Shabbos at least once. So how, the Pasuk says, Yom V'Layla Yom Yishbosu, they're not allowed to keep Shabbos. So how is it that the Avos were allowed to keep Shabbos? It must be, the Parashat Rachamim says, Araya, that they had a din of Yehuda. Okay, the thing is, this thing is going to need an answer, because the Parashat Drachim is going to go back and forth whether it's true that they had a din of a Ben Noach or not. I don't even think it's completely clear how he came out, even though others quote him different ways. It's certainly a possibility, at the very least, that this is not going to stick, and we're going to hold that they did have a din of a Ben Noach. And if that's the case, this needs an answer. How were they able to be Shomer Shabbos if they had a din of a Ben Noach? So there's a million answers. Probably everyone listening to this knows a bunch. I'll just go through just a few. I think the most famous answer is the Cheshek Shlomo. Cheshek Shlomo said the word tzitzis. And if you wear a tzitzis, if you're wearing tzitzis and you walk from your house outside, so then if you're a guy, you would be considered carrying, right? Because wearing the tzitzis is carrying if you're not mechuyif to wear tzitzis. If you are mechuyif to wear tzitzis, it's not considered carrying. So that's one answer, the Cheshek Shlomo. There's another answer. The Minchas Chinuch suggests that they did chatzi shir. They were mechal Shabbos b'chatzi shir, carried less than a shir, let's say. So by an akum, there's no shirim said by an akum. And by mele, they're mechal Shabbos even a teeny amount. Whereas for a yid, so then that would not be chal Shabbos, less than a shir. Chatzi shir, okay, maybe get into the discussion of what chatzi shir exactly is. But that's his answer. And then they have others, the Panim Yafos suggests that the Isra of Yom V'Lala Lo Yishbosu is to be Shoves Yom and Laila, the Yom and Laila, not to always do work and not to be Shoves a Yom and Laila Shalacharev. And Kodem Matan Torah, the night came after the day. And therefore, there he suggests there Machal Shabbos, the following Motzei Shabbos, there Machal Shabbos, that's enough to get out of the Yisr. Okay, whatever the answer is, there's different answers from a million more. Those are just some possibilities. Okay, but anyway, the Maharal Shiofer brings in Azariah, that it must be they had a full din of Yidin because they kept Shabbos. Now he brings two things that are not a Kasha. One is, there's a Midrashim that says Adam Rishon kept Shabbos in Gan Eden. Adam Rishon surely did not have a din of Yehudi. So he explains that that's not Akasha because that was in Gan Eden. It says La Avdil Shamra that they kept Shabbos in Gan Eden. Okay, but the times that they were told that they should keep Shabbos, that was before the thing of Yom V'Laila Lo Yishbosu existed. So that's not Akasha. And also the fact that Yosef and Yaakov learned Torah. It says, right, it says that Yosef sent the simon to Yaakov when he wanted to tell him he was alive, so he sent calves to remind him that they had been learning Egla Rufa. We know you guys are not allowed to learn Torah because it says Torah Tzivalana Moshe Marasha Kilos Yaakov. It's only a Marasha for the Jewish people, or another possible, it's Ma'orasa, or it's the Torah is betrothed to us. So it's not for others, like the Gemara says, it's considered Gezel, or it's considered Arayas for a guy to be learning Torah. Anyway, he says that that's also not an issue because Kodem Matan Torah, none of that was true. It wasn't a Marasha, it wasn't a Rastas, the Torah yet. So Kodem Matan Torah, anybody can learn Torah. Okay, those are non-Rayas. But so far we've only had Rayas that they did have a Din of Yehuda. Okay, now we're going to find out, at the very least, the Mizrahi did not agree. Because in Sefer Shmos, by Moshe, it says that Moshe did not want to, remember, he didn't do a Bris Milah on his son, because he said it was a sakana, because he had to travel to Mitzrayim, and it was a sakana to do the bris milah on his son. And remember that some malach came and swallowed him up, or almost swallowed him up, till his wife Tzipporah did the bris milah. So the Mizrahi asks over there, he doesn't understand what was Moshe's heter. Moshe said, because it was a sakana, he had a chiyuv, he was with Ben Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, so he had a chiyuv to do a bris milah. So what's the heter sakana? V'chaybem, we didn't get the Torah yet. How do you have a heter v'chaybem? It's not a heter yet. We didn't have the Torah yet. You see from the Mizrahi, he understood that they had a din of a benach. We did not have the kulas of being a yid. We only had the chumras. They were machmer to keep the Torah, but they didn't have the kulas. So bris milah was a real chiyuv. And mechay behem, that's nice. You don't, you know, you want to keep the Torah al chumra, but you're not going to get the kulas of keeping the Torah. So therefore, he didn't think that was heter. Anyway, it seems from the Mizrahi, he understood that they were only keeping the Torah al chumra. Okay, then he brings that it's the Parshas Brachot in dreams. It's clearly a machlokas rishonim, whether they had a din of Yisrael. And where is that? That's by the Megadev. At the end of Parshas Emor, we have the Mekalel. He's Mekalel Hashem. So it says over there that he was the daughter of a Yisraelis, and his father was not a Yisrael. So, and it says he was Megayer. Why was he Megayer? Right, if his mother was Jewish, why did he have to be Megayer? That's what the Medrash in Torah Kunim says, he was Megayer. Why did he need to be Megayer? So he quotes, the Ramban quotes the Tzarfatim, it's Rabbeinu Tam. The Tzarfatim said that the reason they had a Geiris is because Kodem Matan Torah, they had a din of Gayim. And therefore, by Goyim Yeholi Chacher HaZachar, like Gemara Nivamas 9 says. If anyone's doing Dafa Shavua, that's this week. Anyway, it says over there that you go after the Zachar. It's a Kodem Matan Torah. So therefore, when he was born, he was the son of a Mitzri. And when he got older, so he was Megayer. Okay. The Rabban says, I disagree. Not true. And here's his Lashon. Ki Me'esh Shabba Avram Bebris Hayu Yisrael Ubegoyim Lo Yitzchashav. From the time Avram had the Bris, so then he was considered a Yisrael Gomer. Like it says by Esav, and maybe he's Yisrael Mummer. Okay, they had a din of full Yidden at that time. So what did the Medrash mean when it said he had a Geirus? It meant something else. He had a Geirus at our Sinai, the same Geirus everybody else had. And what it really means to say is he followed his mother. He wasn't going after his father. He followed his mother's path that he was a Yid. All right. But anyway, you see clearly, the point is, you see from the Ramban, clearly he held that they had a din of Yidden, whereas the Tzarfatim, which is, again, Rabbeinu Tam, said that they had a din of Bnei Noach. Okay, so this drush, as most of his are lengthy, so we're going to try to do this in short spurts. So we're going to stop here and continue next time.